It's a week of two halves of Reading Football Club, and it's a fan base divided over the future of Nigel Adkins. We'll discuss that and plenty more on the Tireless Then podcast, episode number 41. Thanks very much for taking the time to download and listen to this show. My name is Dan Wimbush. I'm the editor of the Tireless Then, and I am joined, as always, by deputy editor, Mr. Johnny Williams. Johnny, hello.
Evening. Looking glum tonight.
Glum looking indeed. And back. He's returned from injury, sash suspension.
Like Anton Ferdinand, I'm
watching. Only last 45 minutes.
This is me for the rest of the season.
You're leaving after 45 minutes.
Mr. Alan West, otherwise known as Westy, who takes back over from Rob, who joined us from the Two Unfortunates last week.
Good debutant, I did listen.
Yeah, his second appearance, first appearance of the season.
Yeah. Second. Returning hero.
Returning, was he?
Yeah, thanks very much, Rob, for joining us. The Two Unfortunates, great website. They're also nominated for a Football Supporters Federation Award, so go check those out and give them a vote. And also read the sites, it's excellent. And we will have Rob on, hopefully again, for the end of the season. But let's dive into this mess, this absolute dirge. We can talk about the 3-0 win over Rotherham, and I'm sure it will come up during the conversation, but let's just get straight into it, because it's what you all have downloaded to listen to. Reading get beat 1-0 at home by Charlton, and we're 4 points off the relegation zone, I believe, now. And generally, I think most people are glass half full. I think, is that safe to say, gents? You in that boat?
No.
No, you're glass half... glass half empty, I meant,
yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm definitely glass half empty, just because it was a typical game where a team got the lead and we couldn't break them down. No. I mean, I wrote the match report on the website. In nearly 2 years of Nigel Adkins' reign, we've come from behind to win a game twice. One of those was the opening game of the season last season against Ipswich. One of those was away at Doncaster. We just can't break a team down once they sit in and defend. And the most frustrating thing was, you look at all the stats: possession, number of shots, the number of corners, the number of crosses we put in, which Nigel Adkins estimated was 35, but actually turned out to be 46. 46 crosses. Surely after 10 or 20, you think, right, this isn't working, let's try something different. But it was just the same for 80 minutes, plodding along, keeping possession, all very nice, let's pass it backwards, let's pass it sideways, and we never, ever look like equalising. They look closer to getting a second, if we're being honest, with that counter-attack.
I think my friend said it best, and he used to be he's still a big Reading fan, but he doesn't go anymore. And he said, and he went this week, and he said, that is a reason I don't go and watch Reading anymore, because it was so boring that with about 20 minutes left, I thought, they ain't getting back in this. And I had a hotel room for the night, so I went back up there. He said, absolutely boring. They go backwards, never seem to go forwards. No one sort of pushed past the strikers to get in front of them at any point from midfield. And it was just bland. And that's why the crowds are dying to death, because... And it's only about the atmosphere and the crowds are disappearing. That's why, because it's so dreadfully boring watching Reading at the moment.
The one thing that this game did have in common with the 3-0 against Rotherham was that Reading in the first 40-odd minutes, or first 30 minutes at least, didn't have a shot.
No.
Except the difference was, in this game, against Charlton, it carried on for about 90.
I remember something actually yesterday, this afternoon, when I was thinking about doing the show, and I remember something you said a few weeks back, and it sort of rung true this week as well. And when you said that we beat Blackpool 3-0, but it was probably the most boring 3-0 you'd ever seen in your life. And this is... theme just seems to be carrying on all season. No matter what the score, it seems to be a boring, flat and abject performance. And the quality was poor this week as well, really.
Well, the first half hour of Rotherham was pretty dire. I mean, pretty much nothing happened until we scored. First half hour of this game was pretty boring as well. You have to say Charlton didn't really have any decent chances until they scored. I mean, if that carried on for 90 minutes, I think legitimately I'd have been claiming my money back, because it was absolutely dire. I mean, you know, you talk about an end-to-end game, and you know, it was flowing, and I don't think there was a foul until about the 25th minute. So
nothing really seemed to happen, did it?
Yeah, so you know, it was just sort of into your half, all no, make a tackle, make a wrong pass, into your half, all no, slightly, and it's just really, really boring.
I think also, to be fair to Charlton, especially into the second half, they've done their homework on Reading really well, because he had a certain amount of ball in the first half, and although his crossing was poor, he did put one or two decent crosses in.
He was getting the first
about 10 minutes, so he'd done at least one or two. But he was having a run at their defenders and not getting the better of them, but he was certainly running them. The second half, all they'd done was put two over his side, and he kept coming in field, and it just crushed the game.
I'm sorry, but that fullback had Jordan Abita in his pocket game.
Yeah.
But nothing changed. Nothing at all changed. Even something basic, like swapping over the wingers.
Yeah.
Okay, Abita, you're clearly not getting any success on the left. Okay, we'll put you over on the right, and we'll put Mackie on the left. you know, like, stick Cox further forward, bring on a sub earlier. I mean, he didn't make a sub until the 80th minute. Well, as much as anything, what does that say for how much trust he has in his players on his bench? He's saying, well, go on, we've got 10 minutes left, try and do something. And to be fair to, well, Harrelson Connolly looked a little bit lively when he came on, charged around a little bit. Blackman had a shot and, you know, generally tried to take someone on. But the rest of it, I mean, there was just no inspiration,
no.
Absolutely no one willing to take a man on, no one willing to run around and move. It was just dire.
This was just the difference between the Rotherham game and the Charlton game, because the Rotherham game, Reading were played exactly the same way as they did against Charlton for 30 minutes, but then they got an absolute moment of real quality out of nowhere from Jamie Mackey. And when Reading go in front, as much as we say, oh, they're pretty awful when they go behind, but when they do go in front, they're pretty good.
When a bland, boring game works then, because yeah, no one can get the ball off them and teams have to come out to
exactly. Mm. And that is what happened against Rotherham. It's the same happened against Blackpool. They took the lead, and those sort of teams don't have the quality,
no,
the magic to unlock Reading. And this, for me, if I'm going to be positive, is why I'm convinced Reading will not get relegated,
no,
because they have enough players that against the very worst teams, they'll be able to come up with the odd goal.
I thought Murray was very good on the night today. The only thing about it was he was playing his football in the wrong areas, because he wasn't getting much of the ball in the area that he's going to score a goal.
He must be so frustrated.
He kept coming wide, didn't he, and trying to sort of get things going. I thought he was excellent. But I don't know why they just don't hit him and play off him, because he didn't lose a thing in the air, and every time it hit him on the chest, it stuck with him. So why try and be clever about it? Just get up with him, get the players around him, and then push on.
And that's exactly what they did against Rotherham, didn't it?
Yeah.
It came to him, he laid the ball off for Kelly for the first goal, and for the third goal, big long ball, drew the defender in over the top of him. I think Murray committed a foul myself, but he got away with it. Mackie nips in and sets up a goal. And yeah, they just didn't do it. And that nothing came through the middle against Charlton. Nothing at all. You mentioned it went through a beater. And you mentioned, Johnny, the fact that Nigel Adkins pointed into the fact they had 35 crosses and actually it was 46.
Mm.
Go to our stats review on thetarlesnan.com. The most damning stat for me was 46 crosses. Westy, how many of them found a target?
Maybe two.
Four.
It wasn't many.
That's less than 10% of your crosses.
Also, another thing you noticed, like I said earlier, the midfielders weren't getting up with the strikers quick enough anyhow. So when the ball went wide, if the ball came into the box, there wasn't enough players in the box anyway. There seemed to be like six Charlton defenders and like two of our players.
Well, that's not Oliver Norwood's game, and Danny Williams isn't fit. He's not. He's not Danny Williams.
No.
But even with those players, you would think that they could charge forward 5 yards further just to come and support someone, because often you would see like Jordan Obita cutting inside because he didn't have any chance to go up the wing, and he definitely didn't have anyone sort of charging further forward.
No, I didn't think he fancied himself to beat his man anyway. No. He thought, I'm going to beat him all day, so I'm not going to worry about it now.
All he wanted to do was
come. Adie Williams made a good point, and I don't always agree with what Adie says. But he made a good point on Saturday. He said, I worked with Simon Cox at Swindon, and I've seen him crack shots in from 30, 40 yards. We've seen it in the Premier League. We've seen it even for Reading earlier this season. What game was it we early doors pinged one in from about 20 yards?
Yeah, no, I don't remember.
I can't remember what game it is. But anyway, he did that. But this game, twice he had the ball in really good shooting positions.
Didn't shoot.
And is that Simon Cox? Is that something he's been told by Nigel Adkins to do? I mean, I suppose it's a rhetorical question. We can't answer it, but that doesn't seem natural to me.
I didn't think any of it seemed natural. Even Norwood, I mean, although his passing was great, all he'd done really was hit the wing all day long. Easy passes, really.
It's glamorous, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it doesn't really get you anywhere.
No. It's just no one that was prepared to say, well, give me the ball, I'm going to have a run at a few players. And I thought both fullbacks were poor as well.
I'll tell you the most damning thing. When the fans shout at a player, go forwards, then you know something is wrong. Mm. Because the natural inclination of a player should be to go forwards, not to go backwards.
And players were getting frustrated with each other as well. I mean, sitting in the East, I don't know what you could see, but a couple of times people were having a proper go at Jordan Obita.
Yeah.
Danny Williams was having a go once, and Glenn Murray as well. Glenn Murray was really annoyed because Obita wasn't getting the ball in quick enough.
No, he certainly didn't do himself any favours if he wants to play on the wing.
Absolutely not. But I mean, let's look at some of the positives. I don't think it was a defensively shambolic performance.
No.
Unfortunately, though, they had one lapse and it cost them.
But that's all that they needed, because, I mean, Bob Peters said in his sort of post-match press conference, the Charlton manager, he was like, well, all they were doing was they were keeping the ball. We were happy to let them have the ball and just hit them on the counter-attack.
It's perfect away performance. Yeah. Get a goal, sit and watch them.
They were putting crosses in the box. We have Beaky and Ben Haim, who are two guys who can head the ball. It's just so basic that it doesn't matter how much possession or how many shots we have, because we never look like breaking them down.
Yeah, Chris Gunter not doing the best job in stopping the cross again, unfortunately.
He's miles away from play. There's no need for it because he had players behind him.
Yeah, and the centre-forward getting in between the two.
5'8" centre-forward.
Yeah, it's tiny as well. Absolute tiny. It's a good header for him, don't get me wrong. It's a good cross, but that shouldn't be letting conceding goals like that.
No, I'll bring this up here. I said in our Five Things piece on the website, one of the points was about Chris Gunter, and is Chris Gunter having a bit of a Royston Drenthe revelation that he's not quite as good as in his career as he thought he would be? You know, he's not kicking on from that promise he shows an 18-year-old.
Going backwards, anyway.
Well, yeah, and I said, to be kind to him, he needs to be dropped, but it's very hard to drop someone who's your captain. And possibly the best thing for him would be something like a suspension. He needs like a one-game ban to be taken out of the team and get out of the firing line, or something like, you know, a minor hamstring niggle, something like that. So Adkins can take him out of the firing line without actually having to say, sorry, I'm dropping my captain, you're out of my team. He needs a break. He looks mentally shot because he's played, I've said this before, he's played every minute of every game for club and country, and he's off with Wales again this week, so he'll play another couple of games. It's not like he's going to go home and put his feet up. And the pressure of being captain and a part of an underperforming defence, it's got to be really, really tough for him.
And the other thing is, Gunter swapped over to the left wing. Suddenly all the opposition attacks come over that side as well.
Yeah, it's not the first time we've noticed that he's been targeted.
As soon as he appeared on left back the other week, we said, get this ready for the podcast. Right foot is at left back. Don't work. They don't work.
To be fair, Wistie, you're not the biggest fan of Stephen Keddie, but I think he's done an alright job. If we're looking at positives,
I still don't like him.
I'm sure you don't, but
he's too slow. He can't cross.
Set up a goal.
Up a goal, and he was charging down. He was doing a few Murty-esque runs down the right.
He was charging down there, but he didn't get too far, does he? Let's face it. I don't like Stephen Kelly. I'm never going to like him.
No, staying. I suppose on a slightly positive note, Adam Federici again kept running in a game. Looks like he's going to win the man of the match poll on the website. He's just ahead of Glenn Murray at the moment. Pulled off a fantastic double save.
Yeah,
to keep running the game, but I think it was you, Johnny, that said it shows how low the rest of the team is when we're giving man of the match votes to somebody who makes a save.
Well, when our player of the month last month was Adam Federici, that sort of gives you an indication of how much work he's having to do, that people think that he is the player who's performing best. I mean, you know, if he's just pulling off some cracking saves and, you know, we're staying in games, then fair enough. But the fact is, he's been the reason that we've sort of been in games, really.
I thought that's a bit harsh on Murray. I thought Murray was standout our best player because, let's face it, Federici didn't have an awful lot to do.
But I think we had a bit of debate over the mark that I gave Federici. I gave him a 6 out of 10 because, aside from that double save, he didn't really have too much to do. It was a good save, but to me,
I think that makes a goalkeeper's performance better, because to have nothing to do and then to be alert enough to pull off a save like that, it takes a lot of concentration. I have no idea what Adam Federici gets through, but I'm a goalkeeper of 5 or 6 aside. And the worst times for me is when you've had a break and you haven't had anything to do, because suddenly, out of nowhere, you're having to move about and whatnot. So I think he deserved at least a 7, because if you're asking me, and this is how I mark players, I give him a 5 if you've done a very bog-standard average, you've not let anyone done, but you've not really had an impact on the game. 6, you've done just about what you need to do. Maybe nothing terribly bad, and maybe a couple of positive things. Then a 7 is you've done your job. If you sent a guy out, that's what you want him to do. He's not maybe been man of the match, but he's done exactly what he needs to do. And Federici, for me, did all that. He did.
Yeah, that's fair. Again, there's a lot of bland 6 out of 10 performances.
It just felt like...
Well, the average rating now for the players across the squad, from the Tyler's ratings across the season, it's down to 5.9 out of 10 for the whole squad. And that's saying a story, because we were sat here a few weeks ago and it was 6.2, 6.3. It's just going down.
Well, it's indicative of the bland, poor performances they've been bringing up recently. Even when we're winning, that said, it's not exciting at any point, is it?
No, I mean, we're going to come on to the Rotherham game, I'm sure, but you wouldn't give anyone, even in a 3-0 win.
Yeah, it was still wasn't great.
Let's quickly talk about it. I mean, if we'd said it was really bad on Saturday, I mean, Tuesday wasn't really good, because Reading did play. I mean, BBC Radio Berkshire were saying, oh, this was Reading's best home performance of the season. I wouldn't go that far. They're possibly their best half hour. That middle third was really good. They scored the 3 goals. Hit the bar. Yeah, there was a couple of big saves from the goalkeeper as well. But it was
up against nothing to trouble them, was it?
And as soon as they went in front, Rotherham never really looked like getting back into it.
So. See, it's another thing a lot of people have been saying. I still say that that side is a good side. And you look at the bench and they've got some good players ready. And there's no excuse for losing 7 games out of 10 in all competitions. I don't think there's any excuse. And the only teams they beat, let's face it, are cannon fodder. They're probably going to go down a pair of them. It's poor for the side that he's got at his disposal, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know if I can agree with you, disagree with you, really. My only thing would be that he's still missing players in key areas. I still don't think it's great when you're playing a right back at left back. You've still got one of your centre midfielders who's not fully match fit. And you've also lost Anton Fernand, who I thought, as much as we've joked about his fitness, I thought he was pretty good.
He did look very good on Tuesday night. He looked very solid, but I was saying that, I see him limping after 20 minutes, thought he's not going to last long here. But again, he wasn't up against a lot, was he? He'd done his job, but there was nothing to really trouble.
It's the atmosphere a player like that brings. He brings a bit of confidence to players around him.
Oh, no, definitely helps.
Communication.
I thought Hector was a bit light this week again.
Yeah.
He did win a lot of headers.
I mean, we'll come on to it in news bites in a minute about his prognosis, but it's good, so it sounds like he'll be back soon. But any closing thoughts on either of the two games before we move on?
I think it's disappointing. I think I've predicted you should get at least 4 points out of them two games. And Charlton were good, but they weren't spectacular, were they? And Rotherham were poor.
I mean, I don't even think we went into that game with Charlton underestimating them, because we knew, you know, how good they were. I mean, they went to Leeds.
They've beaten, I think, Derby. I think they've beaten Norwich this season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they'd only lost two games all season. They were the draw specialists. And they'd just gone up to Leeds on Tuesday night and got a 2-2 draw. So there were certainly no excuses to underestimate them. And quite simply, we just weren't good enough.
No.
I think Reading did the opposite. I think Reading did the opposite to them twice last season, didn't they? Especially at the Valley.
Mm.
Reading nick a goal and that was about the only thing they did.
So they were very well organised, Charlton, I thought. And that's probably why they haven't lost too many games.
Thoughts, just before we move on, thoughts on Andre Beakey?
I thought he was very good. I'd always used to like him when he was here.
I thought he was absolute class.
I always liked him when he was here. He always had a bit of rush of blood about him, but when you asked him to, even in the Premier League, whenever he'd done a job, he was really good.
He's mellowed a little bit, hasn't he, though?
He's getting older now.
He's mellowed completely.
He's getting older now.
There was times when he was just like turning the attackers or, you know, just bringing down the ball calmly and playing it out. I mean,
he was always a good footballer.
I would love to have him here.
Well, he'd get in the team. That's the thing about it. He'd stroll into our side. Yeah, stroll into it. And only I thought he was going to lose his temper when Cox caught him near the end of the match. Although it wasn't his fault particularly, just Cox's momentum caught him more than anything. Yeah. But I thought, we could blow up here, but he seemed to have a little go and then thought better of it.
Yeah, and no Simon Church in the 18. So unfortunately, that's how far Simon's fallen. Can't even get anywhere near the Charlton squad anymore.
Yeah, I think he was injured though, wasn't he? I'm pretty sure on the radio they said he was injured, yeah.
I think I know that the fan preview we did with Al Gordon, which you can still go back and read if you want to on the Tullist end, he was saying that he's been put up for loan. And that he might end up in Belgium with Ev. They've got that arrangement, haven't they, with the owners. So. Yeah.
Unfortunately for Mr. Church, his career sort of slipped away after his good first season and he's sort of finding his way down the leagues now.
Yeah.
We'll end up at Swindon, I suppose.
Well, he can still find his way back up. Players like Sam Vokes have done similar, so fingers crossed. Yeah, very much so, yeah. Hmm. On the verge of an England call-up.
I don't think he's quite at that level.
Well, apparently that's the man that cost Charlie Austin his place at Reading's academy, Simon Church. apparently Nick Hammond identified Simon Church as the man to play through that academy in the loan spot up front and squeeze out Charlie Austin.
That was a good decision.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, right, we will move on to News Bites.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
Right, welcome back to News Bites. Not an awful lot to report this week, just a couple of injury lines. Gareth McCleary, the good news, as we heard on the Tarlhurst End podcast extra with Charles on Friday. He's been cleared to rejoin first team activities. Apparently he was available for Saturday's game with Charlton, but Nigel Atkins decided not to throw him in. And when you've got Nick Blackman and Hal Ross and Keneal on the bench anyway...
You should have thrown him in.
Okay. There was no imminent demand to throw him back. And with such a key player... And he looks more important with every game he's missing. You can understand why they want to give him a break. Apparently Reading have organised two behind closed doors friendlies over these next 2 weeks. So that'll give him a good chance to get a run out. Probably you'd hope for maybe a 45 minute and then a 60, 70 minutes.
I think it's been a bit of a smokescreen this week that McCleary's coming back. It's like, oh, the Messiah's on his way back. This could save us. You know what I mean? I'm not sure it will, but...
No,
we'll see.
Well, it's good. I mean, those two games also give a chance. I mean, Danny Williams, I don't think he had a fantastic game either against Rotherham or Charlton, but he got 90 minutes under his belt.
Yeah, it's hard to come back and play central midfield.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
After you haven't played for, what, 8, 9 months? Or 10
months, and this is good because, as I said, it gives him a chance to build up strength, get some more minutes in, and the same goes for some of the other players. I mean, Jem Karachan, hopefully nearing a recovery. We're optimistic that he'll be back, certainly in the reckoning after the international break, though quite when, I don't know.
Yeah, I bet you're more likely to see him sort of January
time. It's been, nearly 14 months from now. Yeah. It's got to be so frustrating.
It's too hard to come straight back. You won't see him till January, I don't think.
But when he does come back and you've got all those midfielders pushing each other, it'll hopefully boost boost performance levels and take them up a notch. So.
Well, I mean, hopefully it will. But the main problem I have is where would you fit them all in?
You know, none of it. They can't all stay fit at the same time. So
no, but you're gonna have a few of them fit at the same time, and it's gonna be a question of you're gonna have to drop someone out of there, and I'm not particularly sure that you can.
Yeah,
we've done the squad selector over and over again, so we won't go through it again. But
I still think Akpan, as much as I think he's improved this season, I still feel he'll be the full guy the end of January. If these players come back, I think you could see him going out in January.
And you got African Nations coming up soon.
Yeah, if he continues.
If he gets in the Nigeria squad.
Yeah. I think he's involved again for this international break.
I think he will then, probably, so you won't see him anyway. So
yeah. And of the other injuries, Danny Guthrie, again, as Charles said on Friday, they don't quite really know. It's just every time he seems to come back, he feels his injury and he's out again.
Just imagine that. No, I don't feel up to this one, Gaffer. I'm sure he's not, but you know.
Yeah, it does look a bit suspicious, though.
Well, I think he's out of contract, isn't he, at the end of the season? I can't see him getting a new one at this rate.
No chance.
Especially on the wages he's on at the moment. Nah, yeah.
No chance.
I mean, we sort of discuss this around people like Hal Robson-Kanu, and you sort of say, would you rather have that money in the bank and stop paying out on these wages? You know, we're hamstrung by the contracts handed out to Drenta and Pogrebniak, really.
Yeah.
And the likes of Robson-Kanu. I imagine Robson-Kanu got a fairly generous contract.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, Adam Federici got a big one as well.
And Pearce, he must have got a decent whack out of Reading as well.
Yeah, we blame the big high earners like Pogrebniak and Drenta, but I think there are a lot of players earning probably more than they're worth.
Well, Pearce and Hal Robson-Kanu's agents, Hal Robson-Kanu's brother.
It is.
So, I'm sure we better have gotten both good deals.
At least Pearce has played every game.
Yeah, well, Pearce does what Pearce does. He's never going to pull up any trees, but he's steady.
Well, speaking of defenders, Anton Fernandes, as we mentioned, only lasted 45 minutes against Rotherham. We understand it's a different injury. It's not the one that kept him out for most of this season. And that he's expected to return during this international break and then hopefully be fit for the Cardiff game, which is a shame. That's on a Friday. So it's one day less to recover. And more importantly for me, it's one day less to train together. Yeah. I think this squad need all the time together they can get.
Although, to be fair, I mean, who's going away on international duty? Norwood,
Pearce, Gunter.
Yeah.
To the Federici, Akpan.
Everyone, pretty much.
Yeah. It is a bit of a worrying time for Nigel. I guess he'd want the squad together to have a quick word with them and make sure that they can actually get stuff sorted. But
well, he's been doing it all season. It made a lot of difference.
Yeah. But two games against Cardiff and Norwich away aren't exactly the best games to come off an international break for, are they?
No.
No, well, that said that just...
Or indeed, save your job.
Well, we'll talk about that in just a few seconds' time. I said that just about wraps up News Bites. We'll have the very latest with Charles in the next podcast extra. Unsure if that's going to be Friday or next Friday. Have to sit down and have a chat with Charles. But stay tuned anyway to the Twitter feed for more info. Meanwhile, it's time for the debate that has divided Reading fans and probably going to divide us over the next 15 minutes or so. It's Pub Chat. It's Nigel Adkins.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Right, welcome back to Pub Chat. Let's get straight to this. Nigel Adkins, should he stay or should he go? That's the question we put out to you Tarlhurst End readers and podcast listeners in the wake of Saturday's game. And you've answered in your hundreds. Certainly the most responses we've had for a poll on the website for a very long time that I can track anyway. Simple question, should Nigel Adkins stay or go? At the time of recording this, about 8 o'clock on Monday night, stay 50% with 243 votes. Go about 50%,
wow,
239 votes. So 4 votes in it for a stay.
482, that's incredible.
That's a lot, you know, it's a lot of voting as well, isn't it? So it's a good demographic.
We had a question to the podcast last week while you were away, Westy, to Rob saying, you know, have you ever known Reading fans to be so divided on a manager? That says it all to me. I've never known a manager to be so splitting opinion. And it's right down the middle.
It is. But I think the only reason people are still saying stay is because what you said earlier, that there's still a certain amount of players to come back. And I think they would rather judge him then. But I think he's had, what, 2.5 seasons now here?
1.5.
1.5.
Yeah.
But it's been a gradual decline. I know people said he hasn't had his own team and ain't had this and that and other. But
okay. I'm not sure it's a decline, but there hasn't been noticeable.
Okay. Lead position. Let's frame this then. Let's get our cards on the table from the start so we know where we're coming from. I asked a question the other day of what is your Nigel Adkins approval rating at the moment? So 0% is the worst thing since sliced bread, although I quite enjoy sliced bread. He's the worst thing ever. Get him out. I don't know how he's still in the job. 50% is, I don't know. And 100% is, I'm obviously behind him all the way. So on that scale, where do you sit? Johnny, I'll start with you.
30%.
30%.
Yeah, somewhere around there, maybe 25.
Okay, I'm considerably high. I'm still hovering about the 70% mark.
What makes you hover that high?
Okay, I think he's underperforming, which is why I don't think he's getting 100%. I still think we're looking at it in too short of a sample space of him having a decent team to work with. You can say all you like, oh, it's a decent Championship team, but I've said this week on week, look at Reading's players and look at the team they're playing against, and how often are you putting Reading players in that other team? Maybe Saturday you take a different look, but even then, again, you've got a right footer at left back. You've got Danny Williams, who's only played 90-odd, well, coming into the game, 60 minutes in 6 months. Yeah,
but don't forget, Gunner is a £2.5 million right back.
Right back. He's not a £2.5 million left back. And he's barely a £2.5 million right back.
But we've been complaining that he's not
an Nigel Atkins signing either. None of the right backs at the club are a Nigel Atkins signing. None of the left backs. Nigel Atkins hasn't been allowed to sign left back, unless you count Wayne more on Strictly than I am in a Reading FC shirt.
Yeah, fair enough. But at the end of the day, you're there to coach your side. Now, whether you bought him or not is neither here nor there. It's not as if they're bad players. Like I say, he's a £2.5 million international right back who's played in the Premier League. So if you're saying it's not his right back, you're going to get any better than that?
Look at some, okay.
Yes or no?
I'll come into this. Look at someone like Kit Simons at Fulham. It didn't work out for Felix Magath. They were near the bottom of the table. You look at their squad and you say, that is a damn good squad.
Yep.
You know, they bought Ross McCormack. They've got a brilliant line of youngsters coming in. Patrick Roberts, people like Moussa Dembélé too, not the one that plays for, where's he play now? Possibly Tottenham.
I think still Spurs, yeah.
Yeah. And he just doesn't get anything out of that side at all. Kit Simons comes in, he certainly doesn't bring any of his own players in.
No, he does.
And they're unbeaten in the league since then, I think, well, unless they lost at the weekend. No, they won at the weekend, actually. So you cannot say that a new manager has to buy his own players in order to be successful, because it just doesn't work like that. A new manager doesn't come in and bring in 22 new faces. A new manager works with what he's got, and Nigel Atkins isn't working with what he's got, even mitigating for the injuries to key players. And on this, on the sort of excuses front, it's running thin. You know, I mean, more and more we say, oh, can't wait for Gareth McCleary to come back. He's not Luis Suarez. He's not our Luis Suarez for Liverpool. He's not our Gareth Bale for Tottenham. You did not sit there last season or the season before and said, Gareth McCleary is poles apart to anyone else on this team or in this league, because he's not. He's a good player. He's a brilliant winger, but he's not the key part that will turn around our season.
And are you going to ask him to play like the winger's been playing at the moment, where they've been stood on the touchline, not making dynamic runs behind players like McCleary will, and you're going to say, well, you pick the ball up here and then you pass it sideways and you carry on playing like that.
I will agree, and I will say Reading are underperforming this year.
Badly.
But to me, no, I don't think they're badly underperforming, because that side, have you seen Derby play football this season?
Yeah.
In the 3-0 home. I watched them on Saturday morning. Reading are a million miles apart, quality-wise.
But they're trying to play the same way.
Yeah.
So it gets to a stage.
That's going
to
take time. Yeah, How long did it take? Well, Nigel Clough didn't even manage it in the end.
That is what I'm saying, but it gets to a stage where you think, I can't get that out of these players. All right, they're not my players, whatever excuse you're going to come up with. You think, well, what can we do to make sure we win football matches? And like I said, all you really need to do is hit Murray and play off him, because he's brilliant.
But is that going to get you in the playoffs with that squad? Because I don't think that squad, even if they were playing a style to fit them, is a good enough to fit in the playoffs. Because if you look at that team, a lot of it was the same one that was not winning football matches in the Premier League. And a lot of it is the same sort of players that weren't really even doing brilliantly in the Championship for Brian McDermott. It only took a real bit of quality in Jason Roberts. And bear in mind, that's still at a time when you've got a not past his prime Kasper Gorks, you've got a Jimmy Kebbe, you've got a Joby McEnough, you've got Carrachan and Ledgerwood at the top of their games as well. And that side was still not doing brilliantly until they signed that extra bit of quality.
But this is still a squad that finished, what, 7th in the Championship last season, even though we tried to throw it away at the end, we still finished.
Yeah, but they've lost players. They've lost Bridge. They've lost McEnough.
Yeah, Bridge hardly played.
We've gone through previous podcasts and said, oh, we don't care about them. We've lost McEnough. Okay, well, he's doing well in League One.
Was finished.
Bridge is retired, so he wouldn't have played on this season anyway.
Finished.
Lafondra.
Your top scorer.
Yeah, but Lafondra, we moaned about quite a bit. And there's more goals up front in that team now than there was in the season.
I think Glenn Murray's better than Adam Lafondra, yeah.
And I think Cox is better than Adam Lafondra.
I think they
as an all-round footballer, he's better.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying, though. Is that team that much better to get in the top six? I don't think it is.
Well, we didn't get in the... I don't think necessarily judging it on getting in the top six, but winning games and certainly challenging around that area and just being in games.
If it's not going to get you anywhere long term, if you say, OK, we'll play the... Nigel Adkins is obviously trying to evolve a side and build a side that he thinks, in the long run, is going to be up there and challenging, not just for battling for the playoffs, but will get you into the Premier League, and more important than that, will keep you in the Premier League.
If not only that, it's missing the point. The fact is, we're getting overrun by Bournemouth, Brentford, Charlton. These teams have just come up from the league below us, and we've come down with Premier League footballers in the side, and he can't get the best out of them.
Yeah, but then has Uwe Rosler suddenly become a bad manager overnight because we're going to down the
pole? No, but he's not getting the best out of the team he's got.
But he did. He was doing fine last year.
Did. That's yesterday's news. You say, well, I've done well 10 years ago, so give me another chance.
It's a bit different. I'm not saying that 10 years. I mean, it's a bit different 10 weeks to 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah, but where's the progression with Atkins? We got relegated, not his fault. We missed out on the playoffs when, let's face it, the league was poor and we had a good side.
He's been building on a foundation of sand. He's been selling, selling, selling.
Yeah, compared to who? There's so many other managers who have come in who've had a far worse side than he has. I think he's got
Come in with a worse side?
Pardew.
What, in a league below?
Yeah, but then he got them up and they carried on progressing.
Yeah, because Reading was spending money, big money in a league below.
Yeah, but we're spending big money now, massive wages.
They're not spending, of players that Nigel Adkins hasn't signed and we've all agreed are useless.
But we didn't have a £2.5 million right back.
But he's not a £2.5 million right back, is it?
And
you can pay £5 million for me, that doesn't mean I'm going to play like a £5 million
right back.
And we've
got some of the best young players we've had for 10, 15 years coming through the ranks.
But is it Nigel Adkins' fault that Jordan Abita is not being able to beat a man on?
Yeah, well, I thought Jordan Abita looked great last year, and all of a sudden he looks awful.
He was our player of the season, wasn't he?
And now he looks awful.
But how is that anything to do with Nigel Adkins going, I'm sorry, Jordan, I need you to play
maybe,
worse this
maybe
season.
They don't want to play for him. Maybe they think, I've had enough of this.
Okay, let's talk about progress for Nigel Adkins, because he's had a year and a half here. He's had a year in the Championship. He's had a transfer window to bring in his players.
And he has.
Has there been progress on the pitch? Or is it the same as it was towards the end of last season when we were coming into games and thinking, oh God, what's going to happen here? It's exactly the same this season where we're passing it around with absolutely zero penetration, zero ambition. If you've got the ball, you don't need to get it back. Well, we have the ball, but we're not doing anything with it. You talk about progress.
No, you talk about
progress and you talk about wanting to develop a side that is going to play a style of football that the fans enjoy and that gets us results. Okay?
There's not been progress. I'm not saying.
I'm saying
there is the prospect of progress.
Yeah, but how long are you going to wait for that?
Exactly.
And not very long. I don't think he's got a massive leash, but I think he's got a few months to turn it around.
But a year in the Championship should be at least enough to convince the fans that you know what you're doing and you know where you're going.
Yeah.
No matter who you have in the side.
Not when you're building on such flimsy foundations. And he was basically, don't forget what happened last summer. He was presented with these three players around June. Royston Drenthe, we know damn well, wasn't his signing.
Yeah.
Danny Williams, great signing. We all agree that.
Yeah, definitely.
And the other, Wayne Bridge crocked his knee. That's unfortunate. Adkins and Bridge can't understand that. That's it. That's the only players he was allowed to bring in. At the same point, he lost. Who did he lose last summer going into the season? Mariapa, Kebe, a load of other players.
Well, those are the two big names. Yeah,
okay, yeah,
Mariapa, he didn't play.
So he didn't build that. And admittedly, he tried to get the side play a different way. The side said, look, we just can't do this and we're really struggling. They changed the style, had a good push for the playoffs, didn't make it. This summer, again, the club had to sell a player to pay off a tax bill. And the only time
we all agreed, you wouldn't mind seeing go.
But even so, if you ask Nigel Adkins now, would you have just kept Adam Fondretava as an option? I'm sure he would have said yes.
Well, yeah, but he's probably got more options up front now than he had last
year. I'm not disagreeing, but the type of player that Nigel Adkins has wanted to bring in Naki Wells, didn't get him. Wanted to bring in Callum Wilson, didn't get him because he didn't have the funds. He did have the funds at the end of the transfer window, but it's like doing anything. It's like doing your Christmas shopping. You do your Christmas shopping at middle of November, you've got a much better chance of getting what you want than going out on Christmas Eve. And for all intents and purposes, that's when Nigel Adkins did his Christmas shopping. Right on Christmas Eve, with the only players left were the players that other clubs really didn't want. So Mackie and Cox, because Forrest got Bresson Belonga and Mikel Antonio for 11
million. How many times this year have you said, we're still not getting the basics right, we're still too far away from players, we're too not close to them? He's saying, we're going to go and look at a drawing board, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And they come out and do the exact same thing the week after and still concede three goals.
And you sort of made the point that
he's the coach.
We weren't doing well in last season, and then the players had a meeting and said, can we play a different way? And then
but it didn't get them into the playoffs.
No, it didn't get them into the playoffs, but it got results.
You said
it,
but it didn't get them into the playoffs. It didn't.
So finishing sixth is a merit of success, as opposed to finishing seventh.
Yeah, because what good is seventh? What is the difference between finishing seventh and 20th?
Well, what good is sixth if you're not going to go up? I mean, what good is finishing third or fourth or fifth or sixth? Not going.
Well, seventh, you get another chance. And 20, you get sacked. That's the difference.
Well, no. Either way, you're playing Championship football next season.
Yeah.
So for me, if Nigel Adkins finishes this season 16th. But he's got a clear plan and his players are building towards something. I'd rather have that than cobbling together a run that still seems to fall apart and you're not set up for the next season.
Are you convinced then that them players are giving him everything they've got?
No, they're not.
But then he got a second.
Are you convinced that the system is right? Are you excited?
No, not at the moment.
Are you excited by what you see on the pitch?
You see the crowd dropping away.
Look, I'm not saying that I'm loving what Nigel Adkins is doing. I'm saying I can understand what he's doing, and I think that given...
What is he doing then?
But given a chance...
Tell the players.
Give him a chance and give him some time to build and develop a side.
He's had a chance.
On a decent foundation, rather than, I don't know who I'm going to have to sell this week, I think he could do a decent job. I'm not saying he's going to, but I'd like to see him get given the chance because he's got pedigree of doing it in the past.
Yeah, but listen, even the fact that he had to give away Morrison went and probably no fault of his own, we still were a bit disorganised then. We wasn't any better defending then with him than we are now. So we're still disorganised. We're still not getting close enough to players. We're still not penetrating enough.
But then,
we're players that are decent.
Let's turn this around then. You're saying, maybe the players aren't playing for him.
No, I'm asking you.
Yeah, but do the players not have to take a certain amount of responsibility for their performances?
Yeah, but they don't. Because it won't matter if they took responsibility or not. It doesn't make a difference.
And we've talked about how the players seem to be playing in a system that they don't like and doing things that they wouldn't ordinarily do.
You're paid professional footballer. You do what you're told. Sure.
Yeah, you do what you're told and it's not working.
Yeah.
You see Simon Cox scores from 25, 30 yards, but Nigel Adkins told him not to do that.
But by the same token, it's not Nigel Adkins who's telling players to not pick up their men in the box and concede stupid soft goals. It's not him that tells someone to slip over on the turf at Brentford and give away a couple of goals.
No,
that's not the manager's fault. That's the player's.
No, it's not his fault, but players don't have to take responsibility, whether we like it or not. It's a different discussion. But if they don't want to take responsibility, I could go out and play football for someone. Say you was my manager, I really liked you. I could run through brick walls for you. Say Johnny took over, thought, I don't like this play. He's telling me to pass it sideways. I could pass it sideways all day long, and you wouldn't even know I was having a bad game or doing it on purpose. You say, well, he's been told to do that, so that's what he's doing.
Mm.
Then you come in and say, no, I want you to get the ball and run at people. Right, I like him, I'm going to do that. You don't notice the, they ain't doing it for him. You just think, well, take responsibility yourself now and again?
I just look at the potential of this squad, this team at the moment, and I just don't think that it's massively high. I don't think any manager's gotten the best out of Nick Blackman. No manager's gotten the best out of Hal Robson-Kanu. No manager as of yet has got the best out of the likes of Hector Cooper Obita because they're very young. It's not. If this was a team that I thought this team should be top six, there's no excuse for not beating teams like this. I would be the first to say Nigel Adkins has got to walk. But for me, we all sat here at the start of the season and expected mid-table.
Yeah, but
this is what they're performing at.
But when you listen to him do an interview, what do you think?
I don't like him.
What do you think?
I hate him.
There you go. So say we was his players.
It doesn't matter if I'd like him or not. It matters if.
It does matter.
If I think he's going to get the best out of the football.
It does matter.
Results and performances. Okay, if you're playing well and you're not winning, you can sort of take that as a fan. If you're not playing well and you are winning, Brian McDermott, 2011-12, you can take that as a fan as well. Are we getting performances? Are we getting results? No, we're getting neither.
Teams have to go through pain to get to the good bit. You'll talk about how bad Nigel Adkins did. Don't forget how bad Steve Coppell did when Steve Coppell started the job. First season,
he didn't inherit a side that Adkins has got.
He inherited a side that finished fourth in the Championship the year before. And would have got to the playoff final had Nicky Forster not picked up an injury at Wolves.
Yeah, definitely.
So, he underperformed and he kept his job for two seasons of not making the playoffs.
If he didn't have the side that Adkins had.
He had a better side than what Nigel Adkins had for most of this season.
No way. He didn't have a better squad. Not even close.
What, the likes of Sidwell, Shorey, Melody, Hanneman, Nicky Forster, Dave Kitson.
Bad Savage.
Yeah, we've got Hal Robson. We've got Hal Robson.
Goater. Yeah. Or did he buy him?
Second season, he didn't have Sean Goater. He had good players and he still failed. Steve Coppell at one point went 11 games. I think he won. No, went 11 games without a win. Stuck by Steve Coppell and in the end, it turned around.
Yeah, why?
Because eventually he built a side that was good enough.
No, eventually he got those players that were there that you just mentioned to play for him.
And that took.
So he coached the players that were already there.
That took two seasons.
Yeah, did
to
he coach
do?
The players that were already there?
Yeah, and added them. Because what turned that team that finished seventh into the top?
Yeah, he did add to them, but Zatkin's not added to that side with his own players.
Barely. We've just said he's added From all of
these... You just run off eight players that played for Coppell that were there before him. I can run off eight players that played for the previous manager.
Does he have a Sidwell in that team? Does he have a Shorey in that team?
Does he need a Sidwell, a Shorey?
Yes, he does. Those two players are two players that have played regular Premier League football. One of them played for England.
Yeah.
I don't think Nigel Atkins isn't getting the best out of a future England player and one of the best midfielders outside the Championship.
Okay, he's got under 21 left back.
He doesn't play, doesn't barely get into the 21s.
No, it's because he's playing so poorly because the manager ain't good enough to coach him properly.
I completely get it. And I agree very much with the frustrations, but as I said, I'm trying to stay positive, even if, as I wrote the other week, having hope in the hopeless.
He sounds like Atkins.
I don't mind giving a manager the bullet if he's had a chance. I really think he's had a chance. I just think that he's not had the chance to do it his way for long enough yet. Give him this season, because as I said, I don't think we're in danger of relegation.
No.
At the end of the day, missing out this season isn't going to completely destroy the football club.
I feel, again, we discussed this in previous podcasts. I think at some stage the new owners might take out his hands anyway, because the crowds are dropping off.
Absolutely.
Drastically.
The crowds are dropping. What we're seeing, the product on the pitch is not exciting at all. Even last season it wasn't. It was the exact same thing. And I mean, you said it earlier, Dan, the players had to change it up so that we would get results. And Nigel Atkins realised that as well, because we had to get results to mitigate the fact that we were putting in poor performances. Now, if you can
they had mitigating circumstances that season of they were desperate to get back to the Premier League because there was financial pressure up the wazoo.
Yeah, the wage bill.
If you're getting performances and if it looks like you're developing something on the pitch, then fair enough. But right now, it doesn't.
No.
It does not look like they know that eventually they're going to be able to build into this side which can play incisive passes. There's no movement up front. The back four just sits so deep. There's no dynamism in the midfield. It just doesn't look like a side.
No, and I agree.
That has the right tactical nous.
And I agree, which is why I'm saying have patience. Let players like Williams, McCleary, Karachan, Ferdinand get up to speed. Let someone like Gunter have the mental break by having somebody decent alongside him and see if it moves forward. If we're sat here 3-4 months from now, these players have had regular runs in the team, they're still running around like headless chickens, there's no progress, give them the axe. But all I'm saying is, this isn't a team that's rock bottom and we're a panic station.
But this is relegation form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a side that should be
never. So we give him 3 or 4 months, we come to March, we're still losing 7 games out of 11, we're drifting towards the bottom three.
Yeah,
then you give him the bullet.
Though,
and then it's like we did with McDermott when it was just too late. And we sack McDermott and we say, okay, well, there's not really much point in doing this, to be honest, because he had a squad that wasn't good enough, and you've done it at a time when it's just completely useless. Are we going to do the same with Atkins?
They're not going to be in the situation they were in the Premier League, where they're facing runs against Arsenal, Liverpool or whatnot, and the chance of survival
might be Bournemouth,
very,
Brentford
very
and Charlton.
It might be, but
hammered us.
And I'm sure if they lost another 7-8 in a row and were seriously at the bottom, bear in mind the absolute dross that is in the Championship, Johnny. You have got a Blackpool down there.
But it's not a good league. So there's no excuse.
But this is what I'm saying. It's not going to take them. I will put £100 down right now saying we will not get relegated.
No, we won't get relegated, but it's not a strong league. It's not a strong division.
Yeah. And to me, that's the only reason I would give Nigel Atkins a chance, because unless we're in imminent danger of complete implosion, I stick by it. And I'm not particularly... And people say, oh, but you'll lose players. And I'm like, well, what... It's not like the days when you had Sigurdsson, Long, and you were frightened they'd get picked up. Who would you desperately not want to lose? Jordan Obita, maybe? Aaron Cole?
QPR was sniffing after Obita in the summer.
Yeah, but, I mean, but there's not a lot of players where you sit there saying, oh, God, I'm really scared of Premier League vultures.
No, you wouldn't be. Not particularly.
So, I don't know. It's good, though. I've enjoyed that.
Yeah,
Johnny's got a face like thunder. He's not enjoying this.
If he's going to hit someone, it ain't going to be me.
Divisive. Okay. Right, okay.
The problem you got, though, just before we finish, is the next two games look unwinnable on current form. So then it's another two games they've lost. So the losing run continues even bigger.
But they're games we were going to lose anyway, so you expect him to lose.
Well, even Blackpool beat Cardiff.
I like your positive
attitude. There's nothing to say Reading can't beat Cardiff.
No, there's no reason to say... Cardiff ain't a great side either, but you can't see Reading going there and beating them.
Not at the moment, but who knows how things change. It's just the sort of stupid thing Reading go and do.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
Not recently. Middlesbrough earlier this season. Middlesbrough at the top of the table.
Yeah, even that though, let's face it, it was a lucky win. It wasn't exactly like we took them to pieces, was it? One shot on goal and then we held on.
Win is a win. Okay. So, Johnny, I'm very much getting the feeling that you're in the sack category.
Yeah. Out now.
Westy?
Sack. Definitely.
I'm sticking in the back for the time being. But a very emotive subject. Johnny's still got a face like thunder. Can't wait for the Christmas podcast where this is all going to flow. You'll see his rage in the flesh come down at Christmas.
Yeah, and a few liveness, anything could happen.
But very emotive subject. I said get in touch using the hashtag TTE podcast. Send us an email to thetarlestend@gmail.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/thetarlestend. Plenty of you have been getting in touch this week, and so let's move on to your tweets and emails.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at thetarlehurstend
and facebook.com/thetarlehurstend.
Right, thank you very much for your tweets and emails. You've just heard all the contact details, so I won't repeat them again. Right, let's get straight into it. Andy Patrick says, I still don't get why we sold Morrison to replace him with Sick Note Ferdinand. Who has the higher wages?
Well, probably Ferdinand, but Morrison wanted to leave, so I don't think...
I don't think Morrison necessarily wanted to leave, but I think every player has a price. And when you get the valuation for a player met, then you just say, okay, fair enough.
Very good money for him.
Yeah, it was very good money for him. I think Morrison see Cardiff as a better option, to be fair.
Yeah, and Reading do have these new financial fair play rules to adhere to, and things like that very much help. Mm. So that could have been performance. And to be fair to Anton Ferdinand, I said we've seen 45 minutes of him, but it was a fairly impressive
very promising cameo. Yeah.
So if he does get his fitness back, I think he could certainly do a decent job.
It's certainly been an improvement.
Yeah. mostly Bobbins, who is part of our stats desk. And he's written a very good stats analysis this week. And also, an interesting piece, I should have really brought it up in the Adkins discussion, but you compared a Nigel Adkins plight to that of Ian Brantford in the last days of his reign. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
A lot of fans wanting to give him time, a lot of other fans not wanting to.
Yeah, my dad turned up to Elm Park with a Brantford out t-shirt 3 weeks on a trot and was asked to leave.
And wasn't it Rob last week who said that the last manager who was in this position was Ian Brantford? Yeah. Where it's stay or go sort of thing.
So head over to thetarlesend.com to read all that. But anyway, Bobbin says, just what is Abita's best position? Solly had him in his pocket, after which he gave up being a winger. Therefore, do we need a left winger or do we need a left back? Personally, I think it's a winger.
I don't know. I mean, you can say that Abita's been playing at left back for pretty much the last season and a quarter or so. Yeah. So obviously when you go forward like that, it's going to... You know, you're going to take a bit of time to get used to it, just like Jordan took a bit of time to get used to being at left back. I still think he's, despite completely slating him, I still think he's got the best cross in the side.
Yeah, I just think he got a right at the office. It's a bad day at the office for
him. Yeah, and it's said from someone who's, 20, 21?
Again, he's still learning, and they say he hasn't played left wing very often for Reading.
Promising right back in Solly as well.
Yeah, but again, he's in the same position left back as he's in with left wing, in that there's no natural person to push him.
No.
There's no other left footer to come in at left back. There's no other left footer for him to, you know, learn off on the left wing.
Well, except for Hal Robson-Carney.
Yeah.
He's not a winger.
He's not a footballer.
He's not a striker.
He is soon to be a multiple Tyler Stem podcast award winner, though.
Yeah, he's a millionaire, probably. That's about it.
We were going to open a poll for it, but it's ended.
Yeah, I think he's going to take that.
It's unanimous.
Just generally then, what do you think? Why is his best position? Do you think long-term left wing or left back?
I think long-term left wing. I think he's not good enough defensively at left back, and I do think he's got a bit of pace about him. If he can learn a bit of skills and, you know, learn how to beat a man, then he could be a very good left winger for us.
I just think he's a good... I know, again, we slated him this week, but I think he's a good footballer. And I think he could play either position particularly well, but it might take a little bit more time with him, that's all.
Yeah, I still think he deserves a chance to go further forward, and that's what he wants to do. And players are always... But you've got to give them that chance to play in their best position. And then if they fail, then they're much more happy to go back. Mm. Otherwise, it's...
Yeah, it's like I said last week when I was here. Last week I was here, that McDermott said that he always thought his best position would be left back, so... Again, it's dividing opinion, so we'll see. It's up to him. If he wants to play left wing, then he's got to put in some decent performances.
Right. Tim Redmayne says, should we be signing Jamie Mackie on a permanent deal in January?
Not in January.
I think you wait and see how he's done over the full season, don't you?
Yeah.
And what the budgets are like and whatnot.
I like Jamie Mackie, but he doesn't give you a great deal of quality, but he does give you a great deal of...
He did on Tuesday night.
Yeah, he did on Tuesday night, but in general, he gives you a lot of huff and puff, but... Very rare does he blow your house down.
He had a good shot against Charlton as well, to be fair to him, when Murray laid it out to him on the right wing. Yeah, as you say, I just don't think the production's there. He'll run and run and run, but he won't necessarily beat his man 9 times out of 10 or put in a telling cross.
Yeah. I don't know if he's a winger. I don't know if he is. I think he'd be better sort of away from home, playing off the front man and just chasing the defenders down.
He's one of a lot of these players, though, this sort of era of football, isn't he? We mentioned the Robson Canoes and the Blackmans. That they're not wingers. They're not strikers. What are they?
Inside forwards, really.
Yeah.
I just can't see him as a right-sided midfielder. I just think he'd be better in the middle, especially away from home, just chasing people down and being a pain.
I seem to remember he played that sort of position for Plymouth and
being a pain.
Some good goals. Mm. But again, I think
it's like Noel Hunt used to do.
Yeah.
Just charge.
Similar sort of job. Yeah.
Sadly, he's not quite got the leap that Noel did. No. Noel won a lot of balls in the air.
He's great in the air, actually.
But yeah, I certainly don't think you pull the trigger in January if you let the loan take its course, unless, of course, you get him on lower wages or some sort of cut price deal. And it's just going to depend on the asking price, what the other options are.
Will he want to come?
Exactly, absolutely. On the note of loan players, Talk Reading says, if Crystal Palace get the urge to recall Glenn Murray come January, who would be a suitable replacement?
I don't think you would replace him, not like for like, anyhow. You'd struggle to replace. I think Glenn Murray is a good footballer.
Yeah.
And I think you've got a player there that could get you 15, 20 goals and has done it in the past. And I thought his performance was good on Saturday, but he did try and play football in the right.
He's already got, what, 5?
Yeah, he's just big, strong, good in the air. He's good on the ball. Mm. I like him as a foot. I think he's really good.
To be honest, you could have anyone up front at the moment. They're not getting a lot of service, so
no,
doesn't matter. I've always felt this about Pavel Pogrebniak. As much as people slagged him off, I'd still point to the fact that how many chances does he actually really miss? It's not like he's having 5 chances a game and missing 4 of them.
No.
He fed off scraps. Glenn Murray's been feeding off scraps. Adam Lafondra fed off scraps. We've been a team that, you know, hasn't created a lot of chances for a good, even a lot under McDermott. It wasn't a team that's creating tons of chances and missing them. So
even when we went up, it was like we get 2 or 3 and score 2 or 3, wouldn't we?
Wasn't clinical.
I think in terms of a replacement, you'd probably be looking at another sort of Premier League loan. Yeah. I mean,
it was after Hooper, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That sort of player.
Although I doubt Norwich to let him go on loan. But Yaya Sanogo, if Giroud gets back from Arsenal.
Don't know if you'd want a youngster, though.
I think Sunderland have a bit of a plethora of strikers at the moment, don't they? So I'm sure we can shop around and find a bargain.
I don't think it'd be a problem. I'm pretty sure that they're signing him anyway.
Better question, though. I think if you're Glenn Murray, do you want to stay at the moment?
Well, you're playing. That's one good thing. You're liked.
If you're playing and you're getting the money, then I don't see why you wouldn't, to be honest.
But are you entirely happy feeding off scraps?
I think to a certain extent, he likes the rough and tumble of it. I think he likes the battle. I think him and BK had a right go at each other this week, didn't they? In a fair way, but they were certainly, it was biggest and the strongest. And I think he enjoys that sort of game.
And there was that one incident really, really late on when he almost did a barrel roll in the air and the ref ordered him off for physio treatment, but we didn't get a free kick.
No, it was a bit strange.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But no, I think he likes the rough and tumble of the Championship.
Okay, speaking of people that like rough and tumble, Talk Reading continues with, what would you do with Royston Drenthe if he rejoins after his loan? Play him, pay out the deal, freeze out as a bad role model. Royston Drenthe, since you've last been here, since his goal?
I don't think I need to speak about Royston Drenthe. I think...
Unprofessional joke of a footballer.
He's an unprofessional joke of a footballer.
He summed it up. Royston Drenthe had the week that summed up his entire career, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. Scores an absolute wonder goal, and then his next game gets sent off.
Yep.
Just, that's it. If you had to explain, again, to these aliens that I frequently reference, I seem to drop down and watch football matches, but if you showed them, if you wanted to sum up Royston Drenthe's career...
That was it.
Those 2 YouTube clips, and that's it.
That's it.
I saw in his Instagram today he was off meeting Cristiano Ronaldo again. Yeah. So maybe they could solve our right-wing problem.
His money. Not bad, is it?
Yeah, there's your season ticket.
Yeah, hard it's work. Just such a shame. Yeah, why?
But anyway, in answer to his question, what would you do with him? Would you do what Nigel Atkins was doing before, just completely freeze him out?
I don't think he'll come back.
I think you have to. You know, in a system where people have to work as hard as possible, he's not one to do it, is he?
No, and he's not. Let's say he's not pulling up trees at Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, he scored a good goal, but
that was it.
Every dog has his day, isn't it?
Yeah, I said it's at this point you just cut bait, don't you? The only hope is that someone watches a YouTube clip of that goal and wants to take him on.
Yeah, well, there's lots of good Royston Drenthe goals on YouTube, but then, like I said, every dog has his day.
Yeah, too busy playing Call of Duty now.
Yeah.
He was there on his Instagram. He is good value to follow on social media because he just gets up to the most, I said, most random things.
Then you remember that
we're paying him 60 grand a week.
That's ridiculous. You're paying money.
I know.
Anyway, you're playing COD. Oh, brilliant.
If you don't laugh, you cry. So, yeah. Anyway, right, royalty points. Another regular tweeter. Thanks for getting in touch again. He says, can you discuss where the evidence of any change of style, passing sideways and crossing aimlessly, really isn't a change of style? It's a team player with no direction leadership. Teams know we are clueless when we go behind. We've conceded the first goal 27 times and won two of those games. Is that just luck or management? Well, I know what Johnny's other account is.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered that one base to base.
I don't think we can retort that either, can we, Westy? I have to be down on this one.
No, listen, let's not go over this, but I'm not. I can't even defend it. I agree. There is no evidence of a change in style yet. Yet is my defence, and that's it. And if go back and listen to the last 20 minutes.
Leopards don't change their spots. Is that like animal references?
What about chameleons? Chameleons change their colours.
Dogs, leopards.
Anyway, David Spencer says, on Saturday, I couldn't see a game plan or a team dynamic. We look slow and clueless. Do you think Adkins has progressed the team? See above?
No.
We did look slow and clueless on Saturday.
Yeah. Not just on Saturday. On most Saturdays, we look slow and clueless.
No, I can't dispute it. Royal Hoops, our regular... He compiles our tweets of the week and lots of other good, fun things on the website.
Good work.
Yeah, there you go. High praise indeed. He says, is what Reading are truly lacking leaders? And also, what does Westy think of Kelly's past two performances? Now, you've lost him there.
No, I don't like Kelly.
You've got to admit, he's done all right.
He always does all right, but all right ain't good enough.
Well, all right's good enough at the moment.
No, it's good enough for Andy Griffin.
Just wait and see him play against someone decent, then we'll see
how is he worse than Andy Griffin was?
Oh, that's a bit harsh, isn't it?
But Andy Griffin helped the team win the league. And
yeah, but Andy Griffin had a bit of fight and drive about him, whereas Kelly he doesn't divide opinion. You can't have an opinion on
him. To be fair, Andy Griffin could get slaughtered in the playoff final.
He did get absolutely taken to school.
Yeah, he did get taken to school, but at least he had a bit of grit about him.
So did Zurab, though, and everyone came to love Zurab.
Yeah, because he can play football.
Yeah, but again, he got found out.
He can't run, but yeah, he can play football.
Andy Griffin was exactly what Reading needed at the time. Steady. And this is what they need right now. They need experienced, steady players that aren't going to make a mistake. And what I can say about Stephen Kelly is he hasn't made a mistake his last two games. You might say he's not giving you a hell of a lot going forward.
He's giving me nothing.
And if you look at the raw statistics of it, we conceded one goal in two games with Kelly at right back and half a game of Ferdinand. And that's age, experience, whatever you want to call it.
Well, we'll see then. The next two games, then we'll judge him after that.
No, we can't do that.
No.
Have you seen the next two games?
Exactly. Let's see when he plays up against someone decent how good he is.
Well, no, I'll see how he does against some good wingers from Norwich. And
There's a reason why Stephen Kelly's had, 100 appearances in about six seasons.
That's harsh. He was playing regularly in Premier League.
For Fulham, and
international level.
Yeah, and we got relegated. And Fulham nearly got relegated. And in national level, he's not the best, is he?
Stay strong, Stephen. Stay strong.
If he was that good, he'd be playing all the time. But he's not first choice.
Because I think it's because Gunter's got, on paper, has got more potential.
On paper? Has he on paper? You said he wasn't a £2.5 million right back earlier.
He's not. But on
so what's Kelly then?
What I thought he was, 800k right back.
He's not worth 800k. Not even close.
Yeah, but 800k doesn't get you a lot in football anymore.
Exactly, there you go. That's a joke question.
Anyway.
Leaders?
Yes, are we lacking leaders?
Yes.
Yeah.
I
mean, as I just sort of said, in that last point, you bring in someone like Kelly, not necessarily a leader, but experienced, knows the level, knows the game of football. You bring in Ferdinand. You know, we looked so assured in that first half against Rotherham.
Yeah,
and you have to say, even after the break, we didn't look quite as steady.
He was never troubled, though, were we?
No, we weren't troubled, but we looked...
And theoretically, you've still got the club captain, the actual club captain.
Yeah, I think your leaders need to, in general, they need to be in the centre. And they need to, like, your Terry's and your Pawinces and...
But one thing, we really hope he comes back the same player he left, but you can never accuse Jem Carrachan of giving anything but 100% running through a brick wall.
Even with Roberts, I mean, Roberts was a leader in the fact that he was so above the rest of the players. They was not in awe of him, weren't they?
He was the big bad wolf.
Yeah. The big bad wolf. Another animal reference there.
He was your go-to guy, wasn't he? So, again, they haven't got that sort of player. Although, again, Murray, I think, could do it, but I don't think he's quite as vocal as...
Yeah, and Pierce seems to fall off the leadership radar.
Pierce, again, he's bland, isn't he?
Mm. Anyway, Mark Sugar, lowest league crowd in 10 years last week against Rotherham. Have things really got that bad?
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of people were saying, is that the lowest we've ever had at Blakesley Stadium? But no, a lot of the championship anyway, a lot of the early couple days were, I think we got like 11,000 at Walsall, and
again, we've covered this, but people are definitely voting with their feet.
Well, I can't say I've been entertained. I've been nearly falling asleep last two home games.
Yeah, it's been dreadful.
It's just, I mean, when was it that we were almost nearly every game we'd go in at half time 0-0, and you could just write off the first half? I mean, the first half hour of the last two games has just been completely dead.
Yeah, I mean, I spent most of Saturday looking at the clock in the aim that I wanted to run.
Genuinely, 35 minutes had gone past. I felt like I'd been there a lifetime.
Yeah, me too.
I've got to admit, I missed the goal on Saturday because I was texting Johnny about how boring it was. Typical. I'm looking down at my phone and Charlie was scoring.
Yo.
So, cheers, yeah,
again, the thing is, it's all the way around the stadium, because you've got fans that don't get behind the side because they're too bored to even get out of their seats. And then you've got the players trying to gear everyone up like that. And you think, well, it's so bland that you can't really get behind it. Mm. And he's saying, Atkins was saying this week, he said, it's great the fans have give us an environment we can play football. It's like, no, it's just that no one's saying anything because they're so bored that there's no...
To be fair, the fans have given us no joy. The fans have been pretty good. They've not been... They've not turned on him,
but most of them are asleep.
There
are
a few boos at full time.
Yeah, there's a few booing him off.
Don't matter if you're the best team in the world.
Yeah. It's hard to get singing. I mean, I said this last week to Rob, but, you know, I sit in Y25 and you never used to be able to get a seat there for love nor money, but there's just gaps and it's hard to sing when there's gaps next to you.
Yeah, it's just dragging the whole thing down.
Mm. Few wins and that'll all change.
Mm.
Sign Jimmy Kebbe back. He'll put bums on seats, and he's probably not. He could just be a bum on seats. He's not doing anything at Palace right now. Yeah. Pay him to come and sit in the stands. He'll do what he wants anyway. Thanks, Mark. And George Dupree says, what points target would you aim for in our next two games? Would you take 2-1 goal defeats? We'll come on to that very shortly for news bites.
So I was going
to
say for the season. News bites. For the season, I'd take 46, right?
In AOB. And we've had a few late tweets in. Mostly Bobbins has tweeted in again. Sitting in a corner of a room rocking after watching all the goals against Reading FC this season. Shocking, just shocking.
And this is a constant theme that we come to.
Dreadful.
You can never... there's probably been a couple of goals where you said, that is brilliant play from the opposition.
Yeah, but in general.
But generally, it's us shooting ourselves in the foot.
It's a cross into the box.
Yeah. And, you know, as I said, with the one where Charlton nearly made it 2-0, again, I think it's Hector loses the ball in the middle of their half and they just break 2-on-1, squares it across. You think, right, that's a tap in. And Federici does brilliantly to make a double save. You can't say that comes from exceptional play from Charlton. That comes from our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And a good place to close this, really. From Paul Dawson says, the football we're playing just isn't cutting the mustard. Do you think we'll be in the relegation fight this year? I think I've nailed my custom mask. I don't think we will.
No, I don't think
we will. Johnny?
I honestly don't know. You can't say that we're in any decent form. You can't say that we look like we're turning a corner. People said we thought we'd turn a corner after a 3-0 win against Rotherham when we didn't play particularly well. No. Well,
I don't think we're a mile away from it. Don't get me wrong. I think we're not going to be in the top half.
We'll be closer to the bottom three.
But I just think there's a lot of poor sides. You know?
You asked this question last week or 2 weeks ago. Are we going to be closer to a playoff fight or a relegation fight?
On the base...
2 weeks on?
I still think they'll be closer to the playoff places than the relegation places, because I just think there's too much quality. I don't think Nigel Atkins could mess it up that badly with when he gets a fully fit Carrichan, when he gets a fully fit Williams, when he gets Ferdinand back. And don't forget, we have no idea who, if Nigel Atkins is manager or not.
Yeah,
January, who they'll be able to buy.
Judging on the players we've got, we should be.
Yeah.
And that's why I would judge it last week when I said we should be closer to the top six than the bottom six.
If those players stay fit and they
play
even anywhere near their best, they'll, as they showed against Rotherham, they get ahead and they will put away bad teams. That game on Saturday was a 0-0. Reading should have got a point from that. And it was only one stupid moment that cost them. Otherwise, they're cruising to a point. Let's not overlord Charlton. Let's not be too pessimistic. Charlton didn't batter Reading on Saturday.
Charlton came and
did a job. No, they came and did a job, but they would have just as easily taken a point on Saturday.
Yeah, they would have done.
Reading would have got a point.
I thought Charlton done a good job on Reading, to be fair.
Yeah, professional job. And you'll get those over the course of a season. Anyway, right, let's answer George's question about points, targets and look ahead to the next game in Any Other Business.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Any Other Business.
Right, welcome back to Any Other Business. A bumper show this week, understandably, given the heated nature of our pub chat and the fact we had two games to get through.
It has warmed up in here.
It is. I've lost my train of thought there completely. So, but on that note, let's move on to our next game, which will come at Cardiff on Friday, 2 weeks Friday. As I said, we are in the international break now, so Reading players going off around the world to play for their international sides. And they'll come back just in time for another international trip as Reading go across, across the border into Wales. A place that we've not had tremendous success at, obviously bar one magical night when it all went very right.
It did.
In the playoffs.
It's a good game though.
Fiver for anyone that predicted Reading to win that game 3-0.
Yeah, no, I don't think Shane Long would have predicted it. He had a particularly good game.
Great gift from Stephen Bywater though. A keeper that always treats Reading very well. To Stephen Bywater. Hopefully he'll sign in the next couple of weeks, because I think we might need his ability
his help
to get us through this. We were looking at the form just in between the break of Cardiff. Obviously Russell Slade's taken over. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer not lasting very long, despite adding Adam Lafondra and Sean Morrison to their ranks. They've struggled. They're only a couple of points ahead of Reading in 12th. Their form since Russell Slade took over has been played 6, won 3, lost 2, drawn 1. Worryingly for Reading, those three wins have all come at home.
Yeah.
So he's won every home game. They beat Forest 2-1, Ipswich 3-1 and Leeds 3-1. Now, beating Leeds isn't a particularly great achievement, but Forest and Ipswich are two... Well, Forest were a decent side and Ipswich are doing pretty well, although even Reading managed to beat them. And if Reading are a bad side, then anyway. So, not a team in great form. I give Reading a chance going into this one.
Well, looking at that, they don't keep too many clean sheets for a start, but neither do we, so... 0-0 draw written all over it.
Yeah, two clean sheets all season, I think. So.
Yeah, they're not good at the back, but they're good at home. And when the crowd get behind them, it's a extra man for you, because they do get behind them.
It's hard for me to look at this game because I don't know what Nigel Atkins is going to do. I don't think anyone knows what he's going to do from week to week, including him. Yeah. Again, if you get a fairly decently fit McCleary and you throw him into the start, and if Williams is Danny Williams again, Anton Ferdinand's back. You know, a bit it goes maybe back to left back. I think you're suddenly looking at a decent chance getting a result. But if injuries are playing and he gets the system wrong and he does stupid things like drop Jamie Mackie and Simon Cox, you could easily get a hiding.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that this is a game that we're going to suddenly turn it around after an international break. I mean, as much as anything, people like Morrison and Lafondra will be very up for it. I don't think necessarily, just in the fact that I don't think the fans particularly appreciated them leaving when they did.
No.
You know, I don't think they necessarily left on any bad blood, but the fans certainly have given them it afterwards.
Might resurrect my Morrison first goal bet for that one.
Yeah?
Yeah, good why shout. Not?
Would probably be wise. Sorry, I'm just very quickly updating our prediction spreadsheet. This is how professional we are here at the Tarlhurst End, leaving it right to the last minute.
No minute like the last minute.
Exactly. Doesn't matter when it goes in the show, it's in the show.
Yeah.
How about a Lafondra last minute? That would be apt, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah, Alfie last minute.
We've got plenty of Welsh players. They should feel...
acclimatised.
Yeah, they should feel rather at home.
Jake Taylor, Chris Gunter and Hal Robinson-Canoe nailed on to start. Simon Church on loan.
Yeah.
We'll be fine. Just as a final note, to make you depressed, by the way, did you see Garth Crooks' BBC Team of the Week?
No.
Four former Reading players in it.
Was it?
Sigurdsson, Austin, Long and Bertrand.
Mm. Well,
here's what you could have won.
Yeah, you can't really complain too much about that. They're all good players.
Damn you, bully. Right, prediction time then. Over the last couple of games, we all predicted a win over Rotherham, though none of us got the scores right.
I was one goal away again.
You are. You're the 3-1 bandit.
Yeah, you see.
Did you have Johnny's significant win the other week?
Yeah, no, big win, did you, mate?
Yeah, I had the scorecast for Blackburn.
Just Eid first and 3-1 ready.
Gamble away.
3-1 Blackburn, yeah. So Johnny's generously agreed to buy the drinks.
Money goes Christmas to money. That's what I said.
So head
money goes back to them.
Yeah, flows both
gamble
ways.
Gamble away.
Right. But then for the Charlton game, I was correct in predicting doom and misery with a 1-0 defeat.
Good work.
That was only literally because I was scared of predicting a win. I think you said paid is my hand.
Yeah, I think you said that.
So that has given me a much needed boost. The other three of you didn't get it right. You two both predicted a draw, and Charles Watts predicted us to win. You were all wrong.
Although we didn't predict a win, which is quite telling.
Yeah. So if my calculations are correct, I've moved to within 1 point of Johnny at the top of the prediction league standings.
And another strange coincidence: all four of us involved in the podcast have a surname that begins with W.
Yeah, I just noticed that as well.
Wow.
Mm.
You couldn't make it up. You could.
Well, someone did.
I'm sure a few listeners will level another W word.
Yeah.
At a
bunch of.
Yeah. Winners. Absolute winners. Anyway, we're rambling. Win. Score predictions, Westy.
Cardiff 3, Reading 1.
3-1. Johnny.
Cardiff 3, Reading 1.
3-1 Bandit.
Ooh.
Do I strike out a different? Do you know what? Because I've been backing him, I've got to back him. So hold on, I'm gonna write this the other way around.
You're cutting off your nose to spite your face here, Dan.
Yeah, but I'm going to stand by my convictions, which aren't very strong. So I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
All right.
In similar fashion to when Matthew Monse dramatically got Redinger.
Take that.
Result. Although Craig Bellamy then scored a jammy free kick.
Mm-hmm. Take that.
Oh, yeah, take all day long. And I'll get the opinion of Charles close to the game in the podcast extra. So that does that. And then we'll predict the Norwich game closer to it. That just about wraps this up. It's been an epic. And all I can say is this podcast is very much here for you as the fans. I said thank you to everybody who sent in a tweet today, quite a lot of you doing so. And to all the people that are leaving comments on the website, we're seeing quite a few new faces pop up, and I can't encourage it anymore. It's absolutely free. You can use your Twitter or your Facebook or something to sign up. It won't take you more than 30 seconds, more the merrier. And if you've got more thoughts, if you've listened to what I've said about Nigel Atkins, and like Johnny, you think it's absolute rubbish, write an article about it. Send it in to us at thetalesend@gmail.com, and we'll happily post it. It might go through a bit of moderation. Well, that sounds really bad. Like I'm going to completely doctor it.
Yeah,
not like this show. I mean, this is just the best bits you get of the show.
It's another leaflet drop.
Quiet, you two. Quiet. No. What I mean is to say, if you're not, you haven't done much writing before, but you've got a lot of good ideas, that's exactly what the editorial team are here to do. We'll put the finishing touches on it and put it up for you. Or you can just submit it as a fan post straight to the site if you are afraid.
If you don't trust him.
Yeah, if you don't trust me not to censor everything. Right, you can put it straight up on the website. Again, take the time to do so. Also, please subscribe to the show on iTunes. Helps us out, gets up the charts, and helps other people find us.
Yep.
So that's all good. We'll return in a couple of weeks' time. Hopefully, hoping against hope that we get something at Cardiff and have something a bit more cheery talked about. Or we could be talking about Reading search for a new manager.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But we will be talking about something, whatever.
We will be here and we will be talking about something. So thank you very much for listening, and we will see you in a couple of weeks' time. Go on, you arse.